Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Sound.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Who's Who in African American Land Block Talk Radio Show. It's your host, DJ Gatsby, a.k.a. Mr. Gone and Sexy, and called by some, the voice of Urban Lit. Tonight we have a very, very special show. We got one of our guests who just called in. She called from the 202 area code. What's your name, sweetheart? You calling from the 202 area code? I just put you in.
Oh, yes, I'm here. How are you?
Okay, who are you, though? We don't know who you are, sweetheart.
This is Nisa Harper calling from D.C.
Nisa Harper from D.C., welcome to the show, my sister.
Thank you.
Like I said, it's Who's Who in African American Land, DJ Gatsby. I'm your host. Our first guest tonight is author Nisa Harper from the D.C. area. I've been talking to her for a couple of weeks about getting on the show. Glad we finally got you on, young lady. Real quickly, can you just tell my listeners who you are and a little bit about what you do?
Sure. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me on here. My name is Nisa Harper. It's just like Lisa, but with an N. I am a 41-year-old mother of four, background in social work for about 14 years, and then I was going through some challenging times, and I decided to finally publish a book about it. About being a domestic violence survivor, a rape survivor, and how to have a healthy co-parenting relationship. That is my first book, and then I followed up with a second book dealing more specifically with males, and it's called Legacy of Fathers, and so that one has to do more so with getting into the brains of men and why they do what they do, and just dads and how great they are and can be.
Okay, well, thanks again for being on the show. I haven't had a chance to read your book, Legacy of Fathers. I haven't really had a chance to get a lot of information about who you are and what you do, which makes for a very good interview. So we should have a lot of fun tonight.
All right, okay. I'm ready.
All right, now you said Legacy of Fathers is your second book. Is that correct?
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how you got started writing and a little bit about your first book.
Okay. So my first book is called Confessions of a Crazy Baby Mama, No More Pain. And
I'm going to cut you off right there. The title is Confessions of a Crazy Baby Mama.
Yes. And don't forget the No More Pain.
Well, I mean, listen, a crazy baby mom is just going to have pain as long as you got kids and a baby daddy. I'm going to get to the no more pain part of the story. And excuse me for interrupting you, but I just needed to reiterate that title. Confessions of a Crazy Baby Mama, No More Pain. All right, listen, don't give anything away. We don't want no spoilers on the book. But tell us a little bit about the concept. And, how you came about writing a book with such a catchy title.
Well, I was going through some issues. I had four children. At the time, I had three by two different men. And so because I was in so much pain and my background is in social work, I was looking for answers and I was looking for healing. And so basically what I did was write my life story up until that point so that I could use my examples of acting crazy sometimes and vice versa, and then but going forward, how to heal from that, how to have a healthy co-parenting relationship. It's a self-help book.
Okay, I can understand, and I like your honesty and admitting that you were a crazy baby mama. I do understand how situations like that happen. In a relationship, you have a child with a man. Sometimes a relationship doesn't work, and once that doesn't work, that's when the problems with co-parenting come in. But usually if you have a child, you and the father get along good or have, a decent relationship, you won't have those issues. Back to the book, though, what were some of the issues that caused you to feel
like you were crazy baby mama. Like,
right.
You know, is that in the book? Talk about that in the book?
Well, it is. It absolutely is in the book. And I also, what I always tell people, I've never referred to myself as a baby mama. And so, but what I did was, I knew it was catchy, and I have a black eye on the front cover with makeup. And so I knew it was catchy, and that really when people, some people, when they read it, they think they're going to get an urban novel. When they read it, they're kind of like, oh, this is kind of deep. And so what was happening is I was experiencing what a lot of people experience, which is child support issues, a dad or dad that may be in and out of the child's life. And so since my background is social work, again, I was still looking for, let me use myself so I can teach other people, okay, you don't have to do this, what we did over here. You can, same issues. And at the basis of every book, I want it to be about healing in the African-American community, but you must expose yourself, your weaknesses, your strengths, to help other people.
Wow, that's a very profound statement. I like that. You do have to expose yourself and other to help other people expose your weaknesses. All right, so the book comes out. I like the premise of the book. What was some of the reactions with your readers or family and friends who read that first book?
They loved it. And I had already prepped my siblings and my mother that, you know, because my mother actually reviewed the book and made some, and she was kind of, at first she told me, you know what, my mother's also a social worker, her background is social work. So she said to me, this is not, I would not necessarily want you to reveal certain things in there, because I talk about our home life. It wasn't traumatic, but I went through some things. And so she said, but this is your truth and you must speak that. So you go ahead, you know. I was just letting her know I was putting it out there. So the response has been overwhelmingly blessings, beautiful, and so many people, of course, say, oh, I'm going through this. Can I talk to you? And I do workshops. So I work with the very populations of people that are dealing with that. Or sometimes people just come and say, well, since you exposed that, I got an issue a lot of times. Can you tell me how to handle this? And guys come to me, too, which is a blessing, because I can say, well, let me tell you something. If you're dealing with her, if you're not dealing with her, if you are, let me tell you, you got to take it from this angle if you want to see your child. If you want to see your child, you got to maneuver it like this. And I can tell you how to maneuver it because I've been through that.
Yeah, that's definitely a great insight on that. Wow. Once again, everybody, it's Who's Who, an African-American Lit, Black Talk Radio Show. Me host DJ Gatsby. We have author and motivational speaker and inspiration to baby mamas all over the world, Miss Nisa Harper, on the line today. I just had to say that because any man with a child, if you're not with that woman at the current time, you're going to have those issues. So that's a very, very catchy title. When was that book released? And it's available on Amazon,
actually,
Kindle?
It was at one point because I was with a publishing company, 2010. So
okay.
I was with a publishing company, and I recently left the publishing company only for the reason of I said I wanted to start doing it myself. And so it's not even on Amazon anymore. I have to put it on there. But it was on Amazon at one point for a long time.
All right, we're going to talk about where listeners can reach you and or get your book before the call is over. All right, you do the Baby Mama book. It does very well. Leave your publisher, and now you're self-publishing the book about the father to the self-publishing project?
Yes, it is. It is. And I'll be republishing my first book myself also. So I think with everything in life, I know it from my experience, it's about growth and it's about journeys. And sometimes what you may not realize as you're going through life is some people come in your life for you to learn something or for you to teach them, but that doesn't mean the relationship, whether it's a publishing company or your best friend, it doesn't mean the relationship is going to stay as long as you think it is. You may just have them for a season and vice versa. So
I understand that concept totally. And a lot of times out of a relationship, couples will feel that they were blessed with a child out of that union, if nothing else. You know, maybe a lot of pain, heartache, suffering, but you are blessed with a beautiful child, a gift from God.
That's right.
And that is the main thing, any issue, any relationship, when a child comes out of it. What is the title of that second book? Because I didn't get the title.
It's called Legacy of Fathers.
Okay, Legacy of Fathers. All right, so now we're going to talk a little bit about Legacy of Fathers and,
yes,
again, how did that title come, yes, about? And tell us a little bit about the book.
Okay, my first book, I talk in there about how women of my generation, my era, I'm 41, a proud 41-year-old, I talk about in the first book, it's going to segue to the question you asked me, I talk about how women like myself who came up through surviving the crack era, even though we may not have been on crack, surviving crack era, coming after the civil rights, coming after feminism, coming after all these isms and movements, what's happened is we grew up under a lot of change. And so a lot of women my age have not necessarily healed from the changes. And there's been a lot of trauma. We've kept going forward, and we look good, and we sound good, but a lot of us have a lot of internal baggage that we may not realize is there because maybe daddy did leave. Or maybe daddy was there, but then he dropped out and came back. And so what I really, almost everything I do, I just want people to do, or if they want to, just figure out who you are and who you're interacting with. Other people can figure out what they need to do, but just figure out who you are. Know your triggers. Know what's in your DNA. Know what you're dealing with and walking around and projecting to other people. So second one came about, I realized from that first book, I thought I had forgiven my father, who's been dead about 30 years. I realized through that first book and other things came along with my children's fathers, I realized, oh, Nisa, you haven't healed from your father, and he's dead. What are you going to do? Are you going to sit around and still be mad at him? What are you going to do, Nisa? And I'm an action person. So I wanted to close that wound. And so Legacy of Fathers is about me going deeper and forgiving my father. But I use seven men, seven women, and my four kids to talk about, and myself, to talk about if their dad was there or not there and how that impacted them through life.
Mm. That's got to be a very powerful piece of writing, because as we know, a lot of African-American families, people of color, and people everywhere go through that that loss when the father's not there because the relationship doesn't work. A lot of times the relationship doesn't work, you know, the mother, or it is very fearful, scornful, hateful, or resentful that the father's not there. And you can't help but as a child feel that.
Yes. Yes.
So I definitely want to read that Legacy of Fathers, because men do go through a lot, and misunderstood and uneducated in a lot of ways about being fathers. And I did read a little bit of the synopsis about that when you were talking about the real stories of American women and how they dealt with these fathers. What has been the reaction from that book? I want to talk to a little bit too about your work and your education, because I wasn't aware of a lot about you. And I'm going to get on to that before we end your interview. But what has been the response to that particular book? Because now you're taking a 360, that turn with your writing, going from, you know, baby mama drama to actually legacy others. So tell us a bit about, you know, response for your readers from that book.
Again, I'm just blessed and overwhelming abundance, overwhelming. I'm just getting started. Even with the first one, I still have guys, a lot of guys who asked me for that book. And sometimes I have, my first one, I actually gave out a lot of books. And the second time around, I'm doing it a little different. But I just wanted to get the message out there, because I realized after interviewing my mother, interviewing my sister, and it wasn't considered an interview, and talking to so many elders and talking to so many women my age, because, you know, my background, social work. So I had done workshops. I had been in the rooms with women, hurt women, traumatized women who were projecting what I used to project, angry. But really, you're not really angry. If you really get to the root of it, what it is long time ago, someone wounded you and hurt you, might have been daddy, might have been an ex-boyfriend, and you have not fully healed from that, so you're projecting it forward. You may not be conscious of it, like I was. Just thinking, like, this is how it is, or this is how guys are. But that's not how all guys are. That's not the full story. And a lot of us go ahead.
No, I'm going to say, I hear that, and I'm quick to tell a woman whenever they judge, even a man, when you say women are this and women are that, and I was saying, no, the women you have dealt with, may have been like
yeah.
that. Or the men
yeah.
you have dealt with. So don't say all
right.
men. It's basically your man. But don't say all women. It's
yes.
basically your man. I didn't mean to cut you off. We got somebody on the line.
Yes.
I don't know if it's our next guest or not. But
yes.
someone to say something in area code. Who's that on the line?
If you're talking about area code 609, this is Miriam Kelly Ferguson.
Oh, hey,
hi,
Miriam. How you doing? So, hi,
hi.
Nisa. Nisa, Miriam.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Glad you could be on the call.
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I want to make sure you're on the line. You're going to be coming in just a minute. If you have a question or comment for Nisa, please feel free to chime right in. We also have another caller that's calling from the 917 area code, 917 area code. Caller, what's your name, and you have a question for Nisa? I don't know, Dad. Sometimes people just want to listen. But anyway, Nisa,
right.
before we finish, Miriam, hold tight. We're going to bring you on
okay.
the line. You were elaborating about your education and work
yes.
experience and how you were dealing with these issues in the rooms with women. I don't want to
yes.
lose that topic, but
yes.
You know, I want to bring Miriam on. You can stay. We'll come back to you a little later. But what is the message that you want people to get from your writing? Because you got two very distinct
yes.
books.
Yes.
Different topics, but you're still dealing with
yes.
the family dynamic, the mothers and the
yes.
fathers of these families. What is the message that you want your readers to get from these two particular
yes.
books?
I think it's like I said, my mother's a social worker. I'm a fourth generation college graduate, so my great grandmother also went to college. It is what I grew up with. In essence, my mother constantly had books around and different in. She had me in different workshops and us in different workshops. We have the power to heal ourselves. We have the
okay.
power to heal ourselves, any race, color, income, background. What you need is within you, but you must seek out other people who have more experience who can help you on your journey. That's the message of all the books. And forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness.
Wow, that's a very, very powerful message. Once again, everybody, it's Who's Who on African American Lit Black Talk Radio. We're talking with author Nisa Harper about her two books. The titles I can't grasp right now. One is concerning
yes.
baby mama's drama, and the other was saying the legacy of fathers in our lives. Nisa, don't go anywhere. I'm going to bring you back on before we close the show so you can get a last word and tell our readers a little bit about where they can get your book.
Thank you.
But ladies and
right.
gentlemen, let's welcome Miriam Kelly Ferguson to the show. Miriam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. The conversation was very interesting. I haven't
oh,
read her work, but I'm enthused, and I can't wait
oh,
to read it.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, those books are very interesting titles. And you know, they're a welcome change from a lot of the fiction stories that people read. I, for one, kind of encourage people, you know, don't just read to be entertained. Sometimes you have to read to be educated. And books like these will definitely educate you in some way. Now, Miriam, I got your
yes.
bio. I didn't get a chance
okay.
to read all the information. Eartha was very helpful and instrumental in getting you on the show today. So thank you so much for short notice and being here and being a guest on the show. So can you just tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, where you're from, and what it is that you do?
Okay. I'm I'm a longtime New Yorker. My profession is a paralegal in the New York and Nassau County area.
Okay.
I am a fellow from Hurston White Foundation. I'm also a fellow of the North Country Institute and Retreat for Colored Writers of Color. My writing has appeared in the Harlem World Magazine, Impact News, and the Hamilton Stone Review. My novel is Weaver, and it is a literature fiction, and that's about all. I'm from the eastern shore of Maryland originally, and anything else you'd like to know, let me know.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. You said a lot. I understand you're from that DMV area, which is very popular. A lot of writers and a lot of very talented than on the people from that area. I'm actually from New York, so we have a lot in common there. You said you're a fellow. Now, I don't, when explain to our readers exactly what does that mean when you say you're a fellow at these organizations?
Okay, it means I studied under them. I went to workshops. I submitted pieces to them and were selected to go and studied under, I studied under to R.A. Jones. And I also studied under Anne-Marie St. John at City College. And I also studied at in Brooklyn and the Literature Center. So to be a fellow, you have to be selected. You have to go in under another author and do work and be accepted and submit your final piece to them. They have to approve that you are worthy enough to become a fellow.
Wow, I need to go back to school when I start writing. I would love to be a fellow or a gentleman or anything else. Very well read and really enjoy writing. Now, Eartha told me, because I didn't get a chance to read your bio, that your book was actually nominated for the Phyllis Wheatley Award during the Harlem Book Fair last year.
Yes, it was. That was such an honor. I was shortlisted. I did not win, but the young lady that did win, she deserves it. And it was just an honor just to be nominated and shortlisted was an honor.
Sure. Yeah, and that was for your book, Weaver, the one that you're currently promoting. All right, tell us a little bit about Weaver. I want to ask you a little bit about your writing. It looks like you've been writing for a while and you know, very well educated, and writing's been a part of your life. But tell us a little bit about Weaver and how you came to that book. Now, is that your first novel?
That is my first complete novel. I had written short stories. But my first complete novel is Weaver. Weaver came about when I asked myself, what if? And what if an artist told their life story through an arts and crafts situation? In Maryland, they have like flea markets and artists' representations. And instead of having different things in them, or cows, or whatever. What if you told the story of your life through your art? Now we're coming through a young woman who is thought to be mentally slow, but if you keep looking at the rugs and the crafts that she makes, there's so much more to her. And this is how Weaver came about. What if?
Okay.
And you know, without craft, art remains private. Without art, craft is merely homework. So this is how. It's a 6-year working project.
Now, I meant to ask you. Now, when you said Weaver, when I was told about the title, I thought the name, the word Weaver was the name of a character. But you're saying the title of the book, Weaver, is about a person who actually weaves?
She actually weaves rugs into a process of surrender and not control. She is a weaver of rugs. In other words, the young lady started out, and so many of us had, like, pot holders. Do you remember when you had the little loops and pot holders and you put them on a loom and you weave things through it? This woman put these pot holders together. She started out like that, and she weaved her whole life story of sexual abuse, of murder, of being insecure, all of that. But the longer you look at her rugs, you know that there's something else there.
That sounds like an amazing, amazing story. Once again, everybody, it's Rule 2 of the Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby. We're here with Miriam Kelly Ferguson talking about her book, Weaver, which is about a very, very talented young lady who weaves the story of her life through her craft. Sounds like a fantastic book. We're going to talk a little bit about where they can find your books. But
of course, it's available on Amazon.com. It's also available at Barnes & Noble. And it is available on Kindle now.
Okay. Now, I'm going to read your books as well as Nisa's books because I found the DJ Gatsby's book club. You know, we do a lot of book reviews. We post to Amazon and Goodreads as well as social media, the reviews that we do on the books. Now, with the success of Weaver, is this a series? Is this a standalone? Where does this book? Is it a standalone book or is this part of a series? Is it something you're going to continue?
This is a standalone novel. Standalone novel. I have been, most of my readers want me to continue because, of course, there are some residuals that they want me to carry the story forward. However, my second piece is entitled In Search of Perfection, which I've also been working on. Now this is the fourth year, and I'm trying to tell myself, have I done enough with it? And I'm trying to let it out in September. So Weaver is a standalone novel, and my second one is going to be, well, the title is In Search of Perfection. I'm also a member of the Harlem Writers Guild, so, you know, we kind of work our way through it year after year.
Yeah, you're a member of a lot of literary organizations and who are very instrumental in New York with helping writers, get noticed and get their work out there. Hicks, there's a good friend of mine, I met at the Ubawa Book Festival in the Bronx of last year. Very talented writer. I have one of her books now. She spoke very highly of you and your writing and excited about having you on the show. Now, do you do a lot of book signings? How are you promoting your books? Where can your readers see you or get autographed copies of your book?
As I said, my books are available through Amazon. Of course, I will be at the Harlem Book Fair this year, as I am every year, of course. And okay. I'll be at the Brooklyn Book Fair in September. I will also, I attend most of the book fairs in the New York, New Jersey area. Right now, I'm in Ohio, and I'm doing a book signing. Oh, I think I have 2 weeks. In Ohio, at Ohio State. So I'm all across. Any genre, just because I write literature, I read across the board. So.
Okay, that's great. I got another caller from the 773 area code. Call you on the air if you have a question for Nisa Harper or Miriam Kelly. You there? Yeah, you call from 773 area code. You have a question for one of the authors?
Actually,
I'm calling.
Hello, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm Anya Hollis. I was just calling to listen in to the show.
Anya, how you doing? Miss
Hollis.
Yeah, she's definitely a good friend of the show. Thanks for calling in. Anya actually writes the Huffington Post. Am I correct?
Yes, I am.
And a good friend of the show, Anya, thanks for calling in. Do you have a question for either Nisa Harper or Miriam Kelly before we go?
I just wanted to know, like, what made them get into writing? Like, tell me a little bit more about their journey and what made them decide to write.
Miriam, you want to answer that real quickly for her?
Okay. I was almost like a sponge as a child. I wasn't a writer as a child. A lot of writers say they began early. I came to writing late. But I was always intrigued with storytelling, okay, and the process that it went through. So after several people told me you have a gift of telling stories, I decided to venture into the field, and that was basically by reading and attending workshops and being, I was amazed when certain workshops said, okay, you know, you're selected to attend. And that's how it came to about. You always say, you know, you got to read. I mean, if you don't read, your writing will suck. You know? So that's how I came to writing.
All right, Lisa, you want to answer that question for Anya? She wants to know how you got started writing.
Yes, thanks for calling. Basically, I've always been a writer. And that's how I used to express myself. I was very, very quiet as a child, almost mute, unless I knew you. So, and I was very shy. And when I look back, though, I had, like, bags and bags of writing letters to girlfriends, relatives, and journaling. I just didn't consider myself a writer until I published. But what I tell people all the time now is whatever you love to do is what you do. You don't have to have that title. It's you. It's part of your gift. So I've just always written.
Okay, thanks for the answer.
Yeah, yeah, I've been kind of, she's actually a good friend of the show. She writes in the Huffington Post, but she's also an author and has a book that's out. So, Anya, you want to tell us a little bit about your book before you go? I know you got you on the spot.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't hear you. My phone jumped in and out.
I was telling Nisa and Miriam that you are also an author. You're not just a caller who's calling in to support the show, but you're an author and you have a book out as well. I just wanted you to give the title of your book and share that with them and my listeners.
Okay, the title of my book is called Lion, Sin, and Desire. It just came out in September. There is a sequel that's coming out next month in May. I'm working on a third novel, but I think I'm going to put that one on hold because I just got this idea for this new book that I think will do extremely well just off the title alone. So, yeah, but I'm constantly writing. I have four how-to guides that are on my website for purchase. So I'm just getting myself out there as a writer as well. As he mentioned, I blog for the Huffington Post. I blog for the Good Men Project. Currently getting into entrepreneur admin, so I'm just trying to make a name for myself as well as I.
Awesome. And your website is?
AnyaHollis.com.
AnyaHollis.com. You're a busy lady.
Yeah, I'm trying to be.
It's Who's Who, Latin American Lit Blog Talk Radio Show. We have a great, great show tonight, ladies. Lisa Harper, Miriam Kelly, as well as Anya Hollis just called in. I'm going to give all you ladies a chance to have a last word before we go. Lisa, anything you want to say to your listeners before you go and tell them how they can follow you on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, and your website?
Yes, so in case people don't catch my name, if they look up the radio host, they'll see me as one of his Facebook friends, but it's author Nisa, just like Lisa, but with the N, Harper. And Twitter, it's The Bright Side. And Instagram I have to work on. So for now, people can contact me directly. But just my message and my theme is that people have what they need to heal. People have what they need to heal. So thank you. Thanks for meeting everyone. Thanks a lot.
All right, and Miriam, before we go, anything you want to say to your listeners and readers, for those who support you?
What I want to say is no one can dance your dance, no one can sing your song, and nobody else can write your story. Okay? Get involved with this. I'm on Facebook, and I'd love to talk to you all things writing.
All right. Again, Nisha, thanks for calling. Merriman.
Anya,
thanks for calling. Anya's going to be a guest on the show before she knows it. I got plans to get her in. We just have to work that out. What do you have scheduled in mind, Anya? So don't be a stranger. Going to be on the show very, very soon. All right, before we get everybody, it's Who's Who on Instagram and at Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby. Don't forget to join me right here every Wednesday, 6:30 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/DJ Gatsby. And also on Friday nights at 6:30, we have the Spotlight Blog Talk Radio Show, also hosted by me. So that's Wednesday nights at 6:30, Friday nights at 6:30. Spotlight, Who's Who on Instagram and with DJ Gatsby. Don't forget to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Visit my website, Who's Who, and AfricanAmericanLiterature.com. Ladies, I've had a wonderful time.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I love you guys. I'm looking forward to reading your work and also reviewing it. Don't forget to reach out to me at any time. Is there anything I can do to help? And also, don't forget to watch my TV show. I have a public access code to the show. It airs on
Comcast in Maryland.
You can watch it online at www.youtube.com/DJ Gatsby. Check out that TV show. I interview authors, writers, and publishers from all over the country on there. All right?
Hey, thank you.
Thanks
so much. Don't be a stranger. Be a friend. And I'll be able to check out Friday night at 30. Like, DJ Gatsby. Good night. God bless. Good night, everybody. Thanks for listening to Who's Who on African American Lit Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, DJ Gatsby. Join us every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and also on Fridays at 6:30 Eastern Standard Time for the Spotlight Blog Talk Radio Show, hosted by yours truly, DJ Gatsby. Good night, and God bless.